It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin with the 29th, 30th verse in that range there. And so please that you will open your Bibles and prepare to study the precious Word of God together with us today. And so as you do that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to phone us here at the church, 217-847-2717. I'd like to visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hopefully that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for this study today. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 29. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorce, committeth adultery. Again, I have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but should perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. Let me end with that 37th verse, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, enjoy this precious time together. Please just show us your precious word, guide and lead us through this precious word. And we know the only way that we can have the real truth and the real guide is for us to be born again, for us to have in our possession the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can possess the Holy Spirit is to come by faith and trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, our Savior that went to the cross of Calvary, that died upon that cross to save us. We must come by faith to Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It is not something we necessarily possess, it's something we have, because God's gift to us is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, for us to be led and guided and to have the power and strength to stand against evil and to walk for the truth and to learn and to know the truth. Father, please guide and lead us now through these precious words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we continue to study through these scripture verses, we need to understand that we must be born again. When we're looking at the above scripture verses that we have studied here in the fifth chapter, we know that ye have heard that is said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. What was taking place during this time, it was such a simple thing for the Jews to divorce their wife. There was nothing of importance to it. They didn't think anything about it. If something, in some way, the husband was offended, by some way he didn't like the way she looked at him. There was a thousand different reasons that the Jews of this day were using for the purpose of divorce. They would see another woman, they would desire that woman, and so they would just literally rid themselves of this one by making just a simple little writ of divorce, hand them this sheet of paper, and off they'd go. Well, they were not caring for their responsibilities in any way, whether there was children involved or even just the wife herself. She needed to be cared to. She was the helpmeet. She was the completer. But they saw this means that Moses had opened up for them as a means of just ridding themselves of someone that they no longer cared for, and they would serve and take another. Well, we need to realize that in the upper scripture verses here, God's making it very clear that it's not the act of adultery is not a physical, necessarily a physical act, even if you look on a woman with lustful desires and you continue to do that, then you have committed all adultery in your heart. And so the woman, again, may not have any part of this. She may not be guilty, or she may be somewhat guilty by what she is wearing. She herself could be inviting that thought that a man would have. And so we deal with that above here. And then it speaks of verse 29 and 30 concerning ridding yourselves of something that offends you or tricks you, or that word offend means the trigger, the kind of the basic meaning of that is, I don't know how many of you folks have ever hunted or trapped an animal, like, you know, a rabbit, for instance. Why you would make this little rabbit trap, and that little rabbit trap would be standing up in kind of a 45-degree angle, and then there'd be a little stick that was right protruding up from the ground up to this little cage that would trap this animal. And whenever this trap stick would be activated, would be bumped in some manner, or that, you know, if you're waiting there and you've got a little string, and so you pull that stick away and it closes down on that innocent animal, and that's what this word here in verse 29 and 30, if the right eye offend thee, it said, pluck it out. If thy right hand offend thee, and again, as we talked about, things on the right side are more prominent than on the left, and so it's the strongest things, and what it is to offend, if those things trigger you to make this mistake, to do this evil, then it's better if you would rid yourselves of it. We've got to get rid of this trap stick. That's what it's saying. And so then we come on down, and it moves right into the same scenario in verse 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. So we were talking about something that at that time was very simple, was very easily accomplished. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commit adultery. Committeth adultery. Now we're going to stop there with that section of scripture. Again, divorce was very common among the Jews of this time, of the time when Jesus was walking on the earth. Very common today. Not much thought to it. Just, you know, move on. And that's a terrible, this leads to what we have just studied. It talks about this trap a stick, what leads to this. And what was happening was they were looking upon another woman, and so instead of realizing that that was wrong, they would turn and get rid of their wife. They would divorce her and go with this other woman, and then they would repeat that process maybe many times. And so all this, if you just found no favor for whatever reason, there was a problem. And so it was very simple to take care of it. And it should not have been. It should be something of very much thought. And there was only one reason for divorce, and that was for the act of adultery. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." They said unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce, and to put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which put away, doth commit adultery." He is making it very clear there in Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus, that there is only one reason that you can do this. In other words, we need to stop taking this so lightly. We need to stop doing this just upon a whim because of your problem with your eyes, as we looked up above here with this scripture. We need to realize that it is of great importance. The Lord Jesus made it so clear that you've become one flesh. And what God has put together, no man can separate. He makes it very clear. And yet man today, through their laws and through their rules, have made it very easy to do just this very thing. It's because we have gotten so far away from the Word of God. The Jews did not practice divorce in the right way. They practiced it for any reason. In other words, for any reason whatsoever. She didn't cook the right meal. She didn't polish his shoes. She didn't do whatever it is. Just didn't please them in some direction or manner. That was just enough. They just write a writ of divorce, and that was it. The husband at the time of the Lord Jesus, and it's not much different today, the husband could exercise his power of divorce at any time for any reason, whatever his little heart desired, whatever his pleasure was. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1. Hope that you are have the opportunity, are not driving. If you're driving, I'm sure glad you're listening. A lot of people are traveling to church as they listen to the program, and I really appreciate that. But if you're able to study and to listen, and it is online, that if you'd like to go to Matthew, and you can find this very study and listen to it at your leisure, listen to it again. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now let's go to chapter 2, verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. It's a beautiful scripture verse. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Man and woman. Man and woman. Today, we have left the Word of God. We have left the power of God. And there is even churches that accept two women as a marriage or two men. A man and a woman. God created them to have children. That's the only way you can have children. Oh, you can go through all this nonsense that the doctors have come up with now to where a woman without a man can have a baby, but it is evil. It is against the Word of God. It's against God. It's against nature. It's the reason that the world today is in such a miserable mess is because we have left the Word of God. God is the author of marriage. He is the originator of the home. And God does not change. Now, if you have decided that the society has demanded that we change, then you're going to hell. Because you're following society, not the Word of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the beginning, there was no such thing as divorce. One man, one woman, and they became one. As they came together, they became one. God made man, and then a rib from man, he made woman, as we've just read. God gave the woman to the man, and the two became one flesh. It's so important that you see that we stop what we're doing today in this country. Jesus reminds his listeners that Moses allowed a bill of divorcement only because of the hardness of their own hearts. It was not the desire of God. It was not the will of God. It was because of the wickedness of man that he allowed that. And then only under the circumstances, only under the time of one purpose, one way, and that is adultery. If adultery was committed, then the grounds were there. That is the only one. He reminds them, and the only reason that's there is because the wickedness of man. Jesus has come in these scripture verses to put marriage back to its original place. And that's exactly what every church and every pastor should be doing today. they should be calling for the human race to fall on their knees and get back into the Word of God, seek the will of God, seek salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll find all these things that have become common to our day, where two women are together and two men are together, will realize that it is against the will of God in every way, shape, and form. And it's not acceptable to God, and I cannot imagine how that a church would accept such things. It's one thing for the world to accept it. Sodom and Gomorrah was full of this nonsense. Full. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Man's hard heart softened for a time the law concerning divorce and remarriage. We find, I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So if you do it for any other reason, if you do it just because you're tired of her, you want another, there's a problem, because not only are you committing adultery, but also you have caused her to commit adultery. Here Jesus reinstates the hard heart of man again, had looked another direction, had softened it up to where it was of no importance to divorce and to remarry. There's nothing about it that was a problem. That was the hard heart of man. But here Jesus, he tells us very clear that he puts it back into place where it should be. One flesh joined together by God permanently. Let me make it clear. When the home breaks down, which it is today in this country, also then the church breaks down. And when the home and church breaks down, then the government very quickly begins to deteriorate and the nation falls. And that's exactly where we're at today. This law of divorce, as given by our Lord, is the only law that will produce peace. Good morals. There should be respect due to it, to the wife. The good that should be seen and taught by the parents, man and woman, husband and wife, should be taught to the children. And when the children are born as a result of the union between a man and a woman, they are due a life of respect. There's going to be love there between the husband and wife and the children. There's going to be protection there that can only be found when the man and the woman stay together. When the man, husband and wife, when they marry, become one, and stay. You want to know, I can't believe what the schools are having to deal with today. Because they have three different sets of parents that the child has to deal with. Every family is touched with this. You have spending part of the time with dad, part of the time with mom. No one is teaching them the love of Jesus Christ, the love of that a man and woman should have, They are not taught that love. They are not seeing that love because they're living in a divided society, many times in a single-parent family. But as we look today and we look at the level of crime and we look at the murders, we looked at the mind of the children today, if they would spend in any way an equal amount of time studying the Word of God, serving the Lord Jesus as they do playing their foolish video games, you would find that we would begin to win this world over. You know why the devil fights the family and then the church so much, wants to divide it and separate it like he has? It's because the very purpose of bringing children into this world, the very purpose is so that they can win their generation over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to raise our children up to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and to win their generation. That is the purpose of children, not to be glorified through some sport that they're playing, not to see that they get every single game and they get to do all those activities, because when they're doing that, they're surely too busy to sit down and to study the Word of God and to search the will of God and to be born again as a young person and then begin to serve the Lord Jesus and to find themselves in peace and joy, to find a home that is solid, built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of that, today we don't even know what a family is. Is a family a single parent? Is that a family? Where's the husband? Where's the wife? Why are they gone? Where have they went to? Why aren't they there to stabilize that home? Money today has brought us to a place that every mother has got to go out and hit that workplace just as soon as they can. And they drop their children off to grandma or grandpa or to some babysitter for 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day because they have to fulfill their life. Your life is to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to love your spouse, and to begin to teach your children the same. Not only by your walk, by your talk, but also by your walk. Jesus spends a lot of time here dealing with something he should not have to deal with. But the evilness of man has brought in the point that it's just so easy. Today we have a no-fault divorce. Nobody's fault. Well, it's everybody's fault. And the ones that pay for that are the children. Are the children. Do you have any concern for your children? Do you really love them? Because it seems as though that today everything is set up on sports and worldly accomplishments. Going after what you want, not recognizing the price that you're paying, and you're condemning that next your generation, the next generation, because you're not out telling people about the Lord Jesus, and you're sure not teaching your children about that. You're teaching them how to play, not how to serve. And that play, what they're doing, will never bring them joy, never bring them satisfaction. If you want victory and you want satisfaction, it starts at the cross of Calvary. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walk each day with Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?